Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
President Biden warns the threat remains that Russia will invade Ukraine.
Investors await minutes from the Fed's latest policy meeting.
UK inflation unexpectedly accelerates for a fourth straight month.
And Disney drops its mask mandate for fully vaccinated theme park guests.
Sandy Hook families win a settlement with gunmaker Remington. And New York State's mask mandate ends today. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Rangers won in a shootout. The Islanders and Devils both lost. So did the U.S. Olympic hockey team.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, well, they're little change now, but little change to lower, down about 2. Dow futures are about the same, down 22, and NASDAQ futures down 11 right now. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.03%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in just a minute. But first, President Biden says a Russian attack against Ukraine is still very much a possibility. He's warning that sanctions against Russia won't come without pain for Americans. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden says the sanctions envisioned by his administration against Moscow would create long-term consequences that would undermine Russia's ability to compete economically and strategically. So he says the administration is also taking steps to alleviate pressure on U.S. energy markets and offset rising prices.
If Russia decides to invade, that would also have consequences here at home. But the American people understand that defending democracy and liberty is never without cost.
Meanwhile, some Ukrainian banking and government websites were hit with a denial of service attack. The U.S. has offered to help investigate. Russian officials have repeatedly denied any plans to attack Ukraine. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meanwhile, a standoff over one of President Biden's nominees to the Federal Reserve is putting all of them in limbo. Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee are blocking Sarah Bloom Raskin's confirmation. They say they want to know more about a special master account that the Kansas City Fed granted to a Colorado-based fintech while Raskin served on its board. Republican Senator Bill Hagerty sits on the Banking Committee.
The more than 35 questions where her answers provided were blanket, I do not recall or I'm not aware. In response to questions on this. So we have not gotten to the bottom of this, and we need more information. And until we do, I'm not prepared to vote on her.
Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program's weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Karen, the Fed will also be in focus today with the release of the minutes from January's policy meeting. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Heightened Fed concern about inflation led to a sell-off in bonds when the last minutes were released. A repeat is possible. Investors want to know just how worried the central bankers were at their last meeting when they suggested it was almost time to raise interest rates. In particular, how far and how fast did they anticipate moving? Bond investors in particular will be looking for any details on when and how Fed officials anticipate shrinking their balance sheet. Kansas City Fed President Esther George recently warned the process could be rocky for the markets. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. In addition to the Fed minutes, we also get the retail sales report for the month of January. That's coming out later this morning. Meanwhile, in the UK, inflation unexpectedly accelerated for a fourth straight month. We go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Good morning, Max.
Morning, Karen and Nathan. Yes, CPI in the year to January came in slightly hotter than economists and the Bank of England expected at 5.5%. It is a new 30-year high here in the UK, driven by clothing and footwear, and it comes as the UK faces a cost of living crisis. Now, the figures raise the stakes for the BOE and add pressure. Investors are not ruling out a 50 basis point hike when they meet in March, an unprecedented move since the BOE gained independence back in 1997. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Max, thank you. Inflation in Asia is also in focus. The latest data out of China show price pressures eased last month, but factory gate prices were still elevated. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more.
The producer price index rose 9.1% from a year earlier. That was weaker than the estimate of 9.5%. 1%, and it was down from December's reading. And the good news for policymakers is that it gives them some more room to cut interest rates. China shifted to a pro-growth bias late last year. That was after the economy was hit by virus outbreaks and a slump in the property market. Consumer prices grew 0.9% last month from a year earlier, and that was slower than a projected 1% increase. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Turning to the pandemic, Disney is dropping its mask mandate for fully vaccinated guests at its U.S. theme parks. Starting tomorrow, face coverings will be optional both indoors and out at Walt Disney World in Florida and Disneyland in California. Masks will still be mandatory if you're not fully vaccinated.
Well, major Wall Street firms are still grappling with how to bring employees back to the office as we come out of the pandemic. For Goldman Sachs CEO David Solomon, he says an in-person office will always be an important part of the bank's identity. We get that story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Speaking from the Pivot MIA conference in Miami Beach, Solomon said the office was particularly valuable for the development of employees in their 20s who make up about half of the firm. He noted that Goldman has established a presence in cities across the U.S., including in South Florida, but he said the pandemic will not prompt the Wall Street giant to provide jobs that can be done from remote locations such as Jackson Hole, Wyoming. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. As the debate continues on how many days workers should spend in the office, Airbnb is looking to capitalize on the work-from-home trend. We spoke with Airbnb's CEO, Brian Chesky.
We do think more and more people are going to work remotely over the summer with family. They might take them somewhere, get a summer rental. But we also just think that we're going to have three-day weekends a lot more frequently for people where they might work from an Airbnb on a Friday or a Monday and go away for that weekend.
Airbnb's Brian Chesky says his company's fourth quarter earnings were its best ever. Shares are up more than 3% in early trading.
Well, finally, Karen, we have a new big moneymaker on campus. Stanford University has edged out Harvard as the country's biggest college fundraiser. The California institution raised $1.39 billion last fiscal year. That was about $10 million more than Harvard. They were the only two schools that raked in more than $1 billion. Rising stock markets helped drive the donations last year. Markets are moving a touch lower this morning. Straight ahead, local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're 30 degrees in Central Park. The Sunrise Highway's closed both ways. John Tucker's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. John?
And good morning, Nathan. Yeah, it's a fiery crash this morning that has closed the Sunrise Highway. A tanker truck reportedly ran into a nearby storefront and exploded. Flames spread to as many as 8 stores. Well, starting today, New York State will end its requirement that people entering businesses must wear masks or show proof of full vaccination. In New York City, masks are still required at schools and healthcare facilities. Owners of stores, restaurants, theaters, or other public spaces can still require face coverings. Remington Arms will pay $73 million to families who lost loved ones in the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. More on the story and the landmark settlement from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
It is a settlement that could open the door to more lawsuits seeking to hold gun companies liable for mass shootings. The money will be divided among 9 families who lost loved ones in the 2012 shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, that left 20 children and 6 staff members dead. Remington did not admit liability in the settlement. Adam Lanza, the 20-year-old Sandy Hook gunman, used an AR-15-style rifle made by Bushmaster, a company that was owned by Remington. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Boeing 787 Dreamliner suffered a new blow. U.S. regulators say they'll step up inspections of each jet before delivery. Since 2020, the company has grappled with structural glitches that have turned its popular wide-body jet into a drain on cash. More than 110 of the carbon fiber aircraft have been built but left undelivered while the issues are resolved. And New York Democratic Representative Kathleen Rice says she won't run for re-election. After nearly 8 years in office, the 57-year-old Rice, who represents parts of Long Island, didn't say what she planned to do next. She joins dozens of her colleagues that are retiring or running for other public office ahead of the 2022 midterm elections, where Democrats fear they could lose control of the House. And New Jersey bettors, they wagered a record $143.7 million on the Super Bowl. That's up 22% from the prior year, even with bets being taken in neighboring New York for the first time. Sports betting has exploded across the U.S. since the Supreme Court allowed states outside of Nevada to offer it in 2018. And global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, John. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Nathan, couple of hockey shootouts. Rangers and Bruins at the Garden. U.S. and Slovakia in Beijing. Rangers won theirs. They scored on their first two attempts of the shootout. Mika Zibanejad and then Artemi Panarin. Then six straight misses before Kyandre Miller scored, giving the Rangers a thrilling 2-1 win. Their first game in 2 weeks. At the Olympics, U.S. led 2-1 final minutes. Seemed ready to advance to the semifinals. Slovakia scored, and the U.S. went 0-5 in the shootout. Gets eliminated after going 3-0 in the preliminary round. Back in the NHL, Islanders and Devils both lost by the same 6-3 score. Both gave up three goals in the third period. The Isles in Buffalo, the Sabres scored three times in the last 3 minutes. Devils blew a 3-1 lead, fell to Tampa Bay. Also last night, Sidney Crosby, career goal number 500 for Pittsburgh. An NBA blowout, Red Hot Celtics won their ninth in a row in Philadelphia by 48. James Harden walked from the Philly bench. He has an injured hamstring, said he was happy to leave Brooklyn. Harden was asked about playing with Kyrie Irving, who has refused to get vaccinated, only recently started playing, and only in road games.
Me and Kyrie are really good friends. Whatever he is going through or is still going through, that's his personal preference. But it definitely did impact the team because originally, obviously me, Kyrie, and KD on the court, and winning covers up a lot of that stuff.
The Nets play a road game tonight, but it's in New York against the Knicks. The vaccine mandate means Irving can't play. College hoops, Fordham lost. Another win for Iona. They're 21st. Olympic disappointment in hockey, but the U.S. won gold and silver freestyle skiing. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thanks. Futures down 0.2% across the board, with S&P futures down 7 points, Dow futures down 63, NASDAQ futures are lower by 25 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.03%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, increasing clouds, upper 40s today. Late day showers possible tomorrow with a high near 60. Early high Friday in the mid 50s. Temperatures will fall through the day. Right now, 29 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and the global stock rally is stalling as traders struggle to evaluate the risk of geopolitical tension in Ukraine and the impact of rising inflation on central bank policies. U.S. stock index futures are lower, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 8 points, Dow futures down 66, NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany is little changed. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.03%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 73 cents at $92.80 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $18.56.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1377 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3567. The yen's at 115.69. And Bitcoin moving higher at $44,200. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. President Biden says it's still possible Russia will invade Ukraine because its troops remain in what he calls a threatening position. Walt Disney is dropping a mask mandate tomorrow for fully vaccinated guests to its theme parks in the United States. And U.S. regulators say they'll step up inspections of every Boeing 787 Dreamliner before delivery. Sports, the Rangers beat the Bruins in a shootout. The Islanders and Devils both lose. The Capitals win. And the Penguins' Sidney Crosby scores his 500th NHL goal. Basketball, the Celtics beat the 76ers by 48 points. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Tracy McMillian is with us now. She's head of Global Asset Allocation Strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Tracy, it's great to have you with us this morning, although the markets seem to be focused on geopolitical risk right now, with futures slightly lower and headlines continuing to come down. Where do you see these markets shaking out here? Do we have more risk premium to be priced in to come?
Well, thank you for having me this morning, Nathan. Yes, we're seeing inflation and geopolitical events both driving market volatility this week. But, you know, earnings have come in very strong this quarter, and we do think that, that is going to underpin some higher equity prices probably later in the year. But today, investors are going to be watching retail sales, and they're going to be watching for the Fed minutes. For any signs that, retail sales may be weaker than expected, they're, expected to come in with a bit more strength than what we saw last month. But, because consumer sentiment is deteriorating and disposable income has also been coming in a bit lower, that is possibly going to set us up for a disappointment in retail sales. So, retail sales, Fed minutes are the things we think investors will be watching today.
How do you think the Fed will react to those latest data points? Well, obviously, we got the much higher than expected producer prices yesterday. And if we do see weakness in retail sales, could that be something that moves the Fed to become even more aggressive than markets are pricing in right now?
Yeah, we do think that because the Fed has seen upside surprises in both of their mandates, that does perhaps put it on a more aggressive path this year. But the Fed doesn't want to surprise the markets, and credit markets so far have been pretty well behaved, and they don't want to risk a major disruption there. So, if the Fed is going to raise interest rates by 50 basis points, then we think they're going to have to start communicating that pretty soon. And we really haven't seen the Fed governors come out, nor have we seen Powell or Brainard starting to signal a 50 basis point increase. But if we do hear, anything from the governors or Powell or Brainard, then we need to start taking that 50 basis points pretty seriously.
So what's your conviction on what the Fed could do at the March meeting? Do you have conviction at this point on whether the Fed's going to stick with 25 or could they go to 50?
So we think that the Fed is probably going to stick to 55 in March, again, unless they start preparing markets almost immediately. And because we really haven't heard that coming from the top level of the Fed yet, we're sticking with 25 for now.
Okay. In terms of earnings, do you think earnings can continue to underpin valuations even with a less accommodative central bank?
So earnings, like I said, are coming in really strong this quarter, up about 27%. We think that's going to moderate down to about 5 to 10% this year. But we do think that will be enough to underpin higher prices by the end of the year. We think that by year end, the S&P 500 should see about $235 per share in earnings. And we think that that's good upside from here. So, we're telling investors to take advantage of any significant weakness in markets that we might see, as we are dealing with a change in Fed policy and geopolitical events that are spooking investors.
So in our last minute here, does that mean that mega cap tech stocks still look attractive, or are you looking for a further rotation into value?
So we do continue to like technology. We are moving up in quality, and we feel like technology companies are still generally posting high quality earnings. We think that higher rates in technology stocks are probably pretty priced in by this point. And we don't see rates going a lot higher from where they are. So we do think that as companies continue to digitalize and try to improve productivity in the face of labor shortages, that technology is an interesting space for us.
Good to get your thoughts this morning, Tracy. Thanks again for being with us. Tracy McMillian is head of global asset allocation at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. Looking at the markets right now, I think we can call it jittery. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 62. NASDAQ futures lower by 13 points. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32 with the yield close to 2.04%. Yield on the 2-year 1.56 as investors continue to watch headlines on the Ukraine standoff, as well as awaiting the release of the retail sales figures coming out in just a couple hours. And, of course, those Fed January minutes. Stay with us for more. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Clouds will increase with highs in the upper 40s today, upper 50s tomorrow with late day showers. Early high in the mid 50s Friday, but temperatures will fall through the day. Right now, 29 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, the situation in Ukraine remains front and center this morning. President Biden says it's not verified that Russia's pulled troops back from the border with Ukraine. And Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
President Biden says so far intelligence is not showing it.
And the fact remains right now Russia has more than 150,000 troops encircling Ukraine and Belarus and along Ukraine's border. An invasion remains distinctly possible.
Biden says if that happens, Russia will be held responsible globally for death and destruction. He says sanction packages are in place and that the overriding issue that governments have is the right to plot their own destinies. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Meantime, there's a standoff on Capitol Hill over President Biden's Federal Reserve nominees. Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee have questions for one of them, Sarah Bloom Raskin, and her role on the board of a fintech. Raskin is the president's pick for Fed vice chair for supervision.
Well, this afternoon, Nathan, the Fed releases minutes of January's meeting on monetary policy. We get the story from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Bloomberg Economics says the minutes could reveal whether the Fed has an appetite for a half-point March rate increase to battle inflation. Such sentiment could explain hawkish comments by Fed Chair Jerome Powell following January's policy meeting. Recent speeches by Fed officials have also been hawkish and signal central bankers are open to aggressive action with inflation running at the fastest pace since the early 1980s. The Fed's March meeting is set for the 15th and 16th. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thanks. In the UK, inflation unexpectedly accelerated for the fourth month in a row. Annual price growth in January rose to 5.5%, a new 30-year high.
And on the earnings front, Nathan, shares of Airbnb up more than 3% in early trading. The San Francisco-based travel company beat revenue and profit estimates in the fourth quarter. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Futures this morning, lower. S&P futures down 5 points. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures, little change, down about 7. Straight ahead, your latest headlines, as well as a check on sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, 30 degrees in Central Park. Big problems on the Sunrise Highway, closed both ways at Rockville Center. John Tucker's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, Rockville Center on Long Island, the site of that nasty fire this morning, it erupted when a tanker truck traveling on the Sunrise Highway veered off into a storefront. Well, the flames reportedly have spread to 8 other stores. No word yet on injuries. Another sign, the U.S. increasingly seeking to live alongside the coronavirus. We get details this morning from Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo.
New York State today will end its requirement that people entering businesses must wear masks or show proof of full vaccination. And beyond New York, Walt Disney is dropping a mask mandate for fully vaccinated guests to its theme parks in the U.S. Face coverings will become optional for inoculated visitors in both outdoor and indoor locations from Thursday, according to a statement posted on the Disney World website. Masks will remain mandatory for those who are not fully vaccinated. The decision comes just days after Universal Orlando ditched its mask requirement. Lisa Mateo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A discovery under a stairwell in an upstate New York home. A little girl reported missing more than 2 years ago when she was just four has been found alive more than 150 miles from where she disappeared. Police say they found 6-year-old Paisley Schultes in a house in Saugerties, New York, huddled in a cold, wet space under the stairs. The Saugerties police chief.
Nobody was leaving without that child. We honestly believe that that child was there. And, of course, at the end of the day, that's exactly what the case was.
They say she was abducted by her biological parents, who lost custody in 2019. Stanford University has raised $1.39 billion in the last fiscal year, the most among U.S. colleges. And it narrowly edges out Harvard University for the top fundraising spot. The perennial fundraising rivals were the only schools to raise more than $1 billion in the 12 months. Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore ranked third with $930.9 million raised. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has lost her defamation case against the New York Times for a second time, with a jury in Manhattan federal court finding for the newspaper a day after the judge in the case said he'd throw out the case anyway because of weak evidence. And record gun seizures last year at U.S. airports are coming under scrutiny in Congress. TSA officers found almost 6,000 firearms at 268 airport security checkpoints across the country, about an 83% spike from the year before. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, and John Stashower has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, a scheduling quirk. The Rangers had their bye week right after the All-Star break, so they went 2 weeks without a game. At the Garden, they fell behind the Bruins early on, tied the game third period, and went to a shootout. And in the ninth round, a Keandre Miller goal gave the Blue Shirts a 2-1 victory over Boston. Islanders in Buffalo, game was tied with 3 minutes left. Sabres scored three times in the last 3 minutes and won 6-3. Devils led 3-1. Tampa Bay also 3 in the third, also won 6-3. Career goal number 500 for Sidney Crosby of the Penguins. NBA, Celtics, ninth straight win by 48 in Philadelphia. Sixers just made the big trade with the Nets. James Harden won't debut in Philly until next week. Got an injured hamstring, and it's not known when Ben Simmons will start playing for Brooklyn. Hasn't played all season. Simmons played poorly in last year's playoffs. Criticized heavily. He admits he's been dealing with mental health issues.
There's a bunch of things that I was dealing with as a person in my personal life that I don't really want to go into depth with. But, yeah, I'm here now. So, you know, it's a blessing to be, you know, in an organization like this. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting back on the floor and building something great here.
Nets play the Knicks tonight at the Garden at the Olympics. The young U.S. hockey squad, who went 3-0 in the preliminary round, beaten in the quarterfinals by Slovakia, who tied the game with 44 seconds left and won 3-2 in a shootout. Americans Alex Hall, Nick Gepper won gold and silver freestyle skiing. Matt Harvey on the witness stand, former employee of the Angels on trial for providing the drugs that killed Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Harvey was Skaggs' teammate. He admitted they both used opioids. John Stashman with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, looks like investors like the outlook from Airbnb.
Yeah, things are turning around when it comes to that pandemic trade. I got two stocks to show that dynamic here. Let's start with Airbnb, though. ABNB is the ticker, up 3% in the pre-market. This comes after they beat revenue and profit estimates in the fourth quarter, reporting a net income of $55 million. Nathan, compare that to a loss of $3.9 billion a year ago. I think it's safe to say people are traveling again, and that's, of course, working well for Airbnb. Let me show you the other side of that pandemic trade, though, the idea of essentially some of those names that were performing really well when people were in lockdown. And the chief among them is going to be those that gaming sector in particular. Roblox comes to mind. RBLX is your ticker, down 16% in the pre-market. They also reported earnings after the bell yesterday, reporting bookings actually that missed the analyst estimates. That also rose 20% from a year ago to $770 million. But compare that to the analyst estimate of $786 million, and you can see why investors are a little bit disappointed. But to the point of the Airbnb story, it is also a reversal of that pandemic boost over the last 2 years ago. The CEO urging investors to take the long view on the game platform company as opposed to just a pandemic name.
Yeah, interesting to see those dynamics shift. What other earnings are you looking at?
Well, let's look at Toast, which is Toast, I should say, T-O-S-T, slumping 16%. I stole that joke from Matt Miller. I know it's
pretty
kind
good.
Of a doozy.
Not too bad.
Toast, it's a restaurant-focused payments company. They reported a mixed quarter showing a wider per-share loss in the fourth quarter than Wall Street expected, but higher revenue. So this is, once again, something that's far more exposed to the restaurant sector. We know that those restaurants haven't been coming back 100%, and Toast kind of riding that wave. I'll end here, Nathan, with Pinduoduo. We got to keep an eye on those Chinese ADRs. PDD is the ticker for the shares, up 2%. Getting a little bit of an upgrade here from Citi, writing in a note that's upgrading it to a buy from a neutral, saying that shares are attractively valued following the decline in the third quarter of 2021 and after the global tech sell-off. Seeing some buyers go back into the Chinese market, Nathan.
Yeah, so not all the stocks are toast this morning. Okay. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, geopolitics, the focus for investors on a broader level. Right now, S&P futures are down, but little change, down almost 3 points now. Dow futures down 31 points. NASDAQ futures fluctuating between gains and losses right now. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32 now with the yield 2.03%, and the yield on the 2-year right now just shy of 1.56%. We've got the very latest developments on the Ukraine situation and more from the nation's capital with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joining us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Clouds increasing today with highs in the upper 40s. Late day showers possible tomorrow, upper 50s. Early highs in the mid 50s Friday with temperatures falling through the day. 30 is our current temperature in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are little changed to lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures down 35 points. S&P's dropped 3.5. Well, the NASDAQ futures are lower by just a point. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.04%. Gold and oil are both little changed. Bitcoin is trading higher by 0.4%. Japan rose 2.2% overnight, while European markets are also quiet this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, and at 2 o'clock, minutes from the FOMC. After the bell last night, Airbnb beat estimates, Viacom CBS missed, and in deal news, SeaWorld's bid for Cedar Fair was rejected. Wrapping things up, Ecolab was raised to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Celanese was cut to neutral over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. President Biden says it's still possible Russia will invade Ukraine because its troops remain in a threatening position. U.S. regulators say they'll step up inspections of every Boeing 787 Dreamliner before delivery. Walt Disney dropping a mask mandate for fully vaccinated guests to its theme parks in the U.S. Sports, the Rangers beat the Bruins in a shootout. Islanders defeat the Islanders and Devils both lose, and the Capitals win. And the Penguins, Sidney Crosby scores his 500th NHL goal. And in basketball, the Celtics beat the 76ers by 48 points. Global news 24 hours a day on air in a Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
A deep dive into crypto's cure for the Texas power grid. I'm Liam Denning, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. A year ago, a sudden Arctic freeze knocked out the Texas power grid. Now, Bitcoin miners say they can help strengthen it. Mining cryptocurrency is energy intensive, which puts more pressure on power grids. But miners say they can turn their demand up and down quickly, depending on the overall demand for and price of electricity. In theory, their extra power needs should encourage more generation to be built, and their flexibility should be valuable when disaster strikes. However, it is unclear as to whether any developer of, say, a new wind farm would break ground on the premise of crypto mining raising power demand for the next 20 years. Above all, despite the hype, Bitcoin shouldn't overshadow more straightforward fixes for Texas's grid. I'm Liam Denning. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and a top 50 college for undergraduate entrepreneurship studies by the Princeton Review. Learn more at njit.edu. Here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China's President Xi Jinping has ordered Hong Kong to get the city's coronavirus outbreak under control by all necessary means. That's an unusual intervention that could lead to stricter measures and possibly a broader lockdown. Xi's remarks came after Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam said the outbreak had overwhelmed the government. Alphabet's Wing unit elevated its leading technology official to head the company as it seeks to rapidly expand its drone delivery operations. Adam Woodworth, who has spent his entire career designing new-age aircraft, was named Wing's chief executive officer. Wing has become what it calls the world's largest residential drone delivery service. In the first 6 weeks of this year, the company said it has performed 25,000 deliveries by drone. That's a tenfold increase over the same period last year. And Meta Platform CEO Mark Zuckerberg calls the company's employees MetaMates in a new memo on corporate culture. The founder of Facebook changed the company's name in December to reflect a newfound focus on the so-called metaverse. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. You have to learn a whole new language here, Nathan.
I was going to say, that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. Thank you, Karen. 6:51 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories there include President Biden warning the threat to Ukraine remains, Fed nominees in limbo on questions about Sarah Bloom Raskin, and Democrats vowing to curb inflation as Republicans say, I told you so. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, starting off with the latest on Ukraine. Emily, it does seem as though the president is in trust but verify mode, and we continue to watch these headlines cross, raising doubts about whether Russia is following through on its claims that it's pulling back from the Ukraine border.
Yes, at this point, I mean, it doesn't seem like anyone else is verifying Russia's claims that they are moving troops back, that if there are any troops that were moved, they were troops that were not positioned close to the border. And therefore, there's still a lot of questions about whether that counts as a de-escalation. Still a lot of concerns. Obviously, Biden spoke to the American people on this yesterday, sort of really focusing on the fact that he does still feel like there is a diplomatic option, but also just kind of mentally beginning to prepare Americans for what it might mean if Russia does cross into Ukraine and there is a resulting war. You talk about energy prices, saying that, you know, that could wind up impacting gas prices and that Americans could feel that. He was very honest and open on that particular point. He's also, he and other people in his administration have also talked about cyber attacks on Ukraine that have hit Ukrainian banks, the defense ministry, other websites, including some big ones for Ukrainian people where they have a lot of sensitive information stored. And the U.S. has offered to help Ukraine really investigate and respond to those cyber attacks.
All right. Well, we watch this standoff continue near the Ukraine border, Emily. We're also watching a standoff on Capitol Hill over one of President Biden's Federal Reserve nominees, and it's got pretty much all of his slate in limbo for now.
Yeah. So Democrats are planning to move all of Biden's five nominees together. The concerns that Republicans have are over Sarah Bloom Raskin. And yesterday there was supposed to be this vote on this committee that would send these nominees to the House, to the Senate floor, or at least begin that process. but Republicans denied Democrats a quorum. None of them showed up, and the top Republican on the panel, Senator Pat Toomey, he said that he would continue to block these nominees until he gets more information about why the Kansas City Fed granted this master account to an Ohio fintech company where Raskin served as director. These are all concerns that Raskin might have behaved improperly or might use her Fed position improperly to benefit companies that she has a link to or that she believes in the mission of. Raskin has denied this multiple times. The White House has said that they've looked into the incident. Everything was above board. But Republicans are still having their concerns, and they're showing their ability to use their muscle here in really delaying not just Raskin, but Biden's four other Fed nominees, including Powell.
And meantime, Emily, we're seeing some moves from Democrats now to at least try to tackle inflation while these questions swirl around what the Fed's doing. And interesting to see the Republican reaction to some of what the Democrats are doing here.
Yeah, Democrats, particularly Democrats facing the tough races, they proposed legislation that would suspend the federal 18 cents per gallon gas tax until next year. And Republicans have basically, you know, immediately shot that down. They said it's an attempt by Democrats to seek political cover. Just South Dakota Senator John Thune called it a desperate cry for help. So it doesn't seem like that's necessarily something that's going to be done, although Schumer could try and push it through if they wind up getting 50 votes. I mean, at this point, Democrats are kind of locked in on a number of things. They're still trying to figure out how to move forward with the Build Back Better package. There are questions about what the future of the U.S.-China competition bill is. The Senate and House are supposed to be negotiating on that, but we haven't heard a lot about the future of those formal negotiations. And the Democrats are really, they understand that inflation is going to be a big concern, that it's going, that's a huge liability for them as they go into the midterms, and it's something Republicans are really going to capitalize on. And so they are looking for solutions like the suspension of the gas tax that they could say would give Americans a little bit of ease and relaxation on prices.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, as always, thanks for the update. And you can read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. February is Black History Month, and every day this month we're celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now with your installment for February 16th, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1951, the New York City Council passes a bill prohibiting discrimination against African Americans in city-assisted housing. The bill was mainly directed at the Stuyvesant Town Housing Project, at the time a public-private partnership project. Managers of that development prohibited black tenants who had been active in the campaign to stop racial discrimination. Lawsuits were filed claiming that the project was public or semi-public and thus violated anti-discrimination laws for New York City public housing, which were rarely enforced. 1 month later, the Brown-Isaacs Bill became law in New York City. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And S&P futures are little changed this morning, so are NASDAQ futures down 35. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg.